Reporting from the Arkansas Department of Education building, I'm Jacob Kaufman with KUAR News. Sort of pick your civic advisory or your civic group in Little Rock, rather, and they're plain mad, it seems, at our guest today, Education Commissioner Johnny Key, for bringing in a new superintendent for Little Rock School District. Mr. Key, though, thanks for taking the hot seat, so to speak, and walking us through this decision-making.
Thanks, Jake.
First and foremost, how do you sort of restore trust with the community? They've certainly reached out to you since the pick has been made. What's your step to react to that?
Mike Poor has a strong history in his career of building community support, reaching out and developing relationships. And I think if just looking at his track record, that's one of his greatest strengths. I think that he will be able to do that. And as we see the progress of academics moving forward, as I mean, the main issue of trust goes all the way back to the state takeover. I believe a lot of folks are still hurting from that. And, you know, we here at the State of Department of Education want to make that happen as soon as possible. So the trust will be restored as we keep moving towards restoration of local control. And those are some of the things that are going to happen over the next several months to show that we are moving that direction.
Things you can't really argue with, the tangible sort of results.
Things like the appointment of the Community Advisory Board, just so the folks remember the Civic Advisory Committee that was established back after the initial vote by the State Board. That was really an ad hoc organization. The statute, which is what I'm bound to follow, now has the time period set where we can appoint a Community Advisory Board, which looks more like a local school board. While it is appointed, it will have several of the duties and responsibilities that a local school board would have. And over the next few months, that process of appointing that board will begin, and we'll get feedback, and that group will start working.
All right, and you said that you're bringing in Mr. Poor from the Bentonville School District primarily for what you've seen for his academic leadership in those districts, as opposed to Baker Curris, who had more of an organizational skill that you applaud. So what is the plan that Mr. Poor is bringing in? Can you provide any specifics about it?
Well, I think the specifics are going to come out as he gets here and starts working with the community. I mean, his first thing is to get out and get to know the people and let people know him and know his heart, know his thoughts, and use that relationship building as the time to start setting that plan. I mean, there are some broad educational goals that need to happen. The details of how those goals are carried out, you know, that has to happen in the classroom. That has to happen in the school buildings. So to ask if we here at the department have a plan, we have things that are in place through our school improvement group here in the department that works with the schools, works in the schools. But the overall broader plan of taking Little Rock School District to its best possible service to the community is going to be driven by what happens in the classrooms and in the buildings.
If you had to look at the idea of reading intervention programs, the idea for the state takeover is because 6 schools in the 48 school district were in academic distress. A lot of those kids simply just can't read in those schools. Did you talk at all with Mr. Poor about what his philosophy is on reading intervention programs?
We haven't specifically talked about reading intervention plans in regards to Little Rock, but what we have been working on here at the department is a statewide reading initiative where we have worked very hard to go back and identify what has worked in the past in moving the state. We saw some gains in reading back in the mid-2000s. We got to probably 2009, 2010, we started seeing a plateauing of that. We need to go back to see what was working and why. That's a statewide initiative, and we certainly are going to have Little Rock at the forefront of that. But at the same time, if you look back at his career in Colorado, they were some of the leading Reading First schools. It was a program from back that came out of No Child Left Behind. And he was instrumental in implementing those Reading First programs. So he has a lot of knowledge on what it's going to take to move the needle on reading. And again, not just a Little Rock focus, but that's going to be a statewide focus for us.
For this next question, for some, it's a very sincerely held belief. For others, it's vague. It steers towards the conspiratorial. I want to talk about associations with the Walton Family Foundation, which has pushed for charter schools in other parts of the country and so-called achievement school districts, I believe, in cities like Memphis and New Orleans. Have you had any conversations with anyone in the Walton Family Foundation about this latest pick, since the pick? And can you rule out this transformational bill that was in the legislature before, if it passed, that would allow the creation of achievement school districts, kind of allowing charter management companies to have some role in administering distressed schools? Is that a tool that you would like to have for Little Rock School District?
Well, that wasn't a tool that we sought when I arrived here last March. That was in the works really outside of what was working in the department and really wasn't part of the governor's agenda. I don't see that being part of any agenda, either from the department or from the governor's office. We are wanting to work with all of the stakeholders to determine the best way forward. Do I think charters have a place? Sure, they have a place. They're here. They've been here since the early 2000s. Are they a replacement for a local school district, a traditional school district? No. I think they are one avenue of delivering education. The main avenue that we're always going to have is that local school district. And my focus to hopefully give some relief or comfort to those who look at this as an effort to dismantle the Little Rock School District, I firmly believe if we don't have a strong Little Rock School District, then our state will not be as strong educationally as it can be. So, no, this is our effort is to make the Little Rock School District the best it possibly can be.
Some parents are clearly asking for these charter schools. They enjoy going there. They want more of them because they've enjoyed their experience with some of their younger kids, maybe. There's an article, though, in Atlantic Magazine, I believe, yesterday, and they quoted a number of UALR professors that have done research on neighborhoods in Little Rock being segregated, as well as the school district. Do you have any direct plan that would address the idea of segregated schools, or is that just an after effect of where people happen to live?
You know, we've looked and had a lot of discussion about that, and you really, from the State Department of Education, you can't change patterns of movement. What we, though, would like to see, and we are willing to partner in the best way that we can with the City of Little Rock, with the Planning and Zoning Commission, you know, where we see those small schools right now that are underutilized. The capacity there is much greater than the number of kids that are attending. How could we change those neighborhoods? You know, can we help them? I mean, because that's not something we can do, but getting in the community. Last year I told some friends that we needed to go, you know, door by door, block by block to see what is needed in these regions of the city that need that boost. It's about jobs. It's about housing. It's about the things that you need. It's about medical services. All those things that you are seeing in abundance in other parts of the city, we need to have those in the older parts, the more low-income parts. And I think that will turn around much of that the fleeing outside from the center of the city, and you'll see people start coming back. I mean, 12 years ago, and you look at the Clinton Avenue area now, and when I came to the legislature, that was an area that was just not happening. There was not anything going on. Now you see it not only is it a thriving marketplace, it is thriving on a residential standpoint too. There are more and more lofts and apartments. How can we take something like that and make it happen in some of those more depressed areas of the city? We're willing to partner with the mayor, the city board, with all the folks that recognize those things to see how we can help be a part of in education, improving those situations.
This will be my last question. You mentioned that some of those schools are underutilized. The neighborhoods there just aren't the way they need to be for those schools to perform at the level that they need to right now. Are school closings still on the table? There's been some talk, at least, about Michael Poore. He has some experience also closing schools.
Well, and that conversation has been going on for several months now, and I'm looking forward to seeing the report from the Civic Advisory Committee, because I know they have been evaluating the various buildings and utilization. What we don't want, Jacob, is buildings to be closed as schools and then be vacant. I mean, I think the worst thing that we can have is a vacant building in the middle of a neighborhood. So as much as it is determining best educational use of buildings, it's about what are alternative uses for those buildings. Can they be turned into something that is a building block of the community? If it's not going to be used as a school, could it be used for something else?
So if the district pulls out of a school, so to speak, they might not be pulling out of the neighborhood.
Sure, exactly. I think some of the most successful examples around the country are ones where they've actually found a way to repurpose that, either as a Boys and Girls Club or as some medical center or as a one-stop shop for public services. A lot of options that are out there, and we certainly are open to any of those possibilities.
All right. Education Commissioner Johnny Key, thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you, Jacob.